Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, and welcome everyone to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. And the title of our podcast today is The Slave Master, Story of Serial Killer John Edward Robinson. He was a serial killer who killed a bunch of people back in the 1990s.
That's that killer research we keep hearing so much about. Killed a bunch of people.
Killed a bunch of people.
Well, we'll get into it.
It's the term serial killer.
You know, the details I don't want
to give. Between 10 and 80.
Yeah. I don't want to give it away too soon.
No.
I want to keep people on the edge of their seat. But this guy became known as the first internet serial killer, so he has that to, you know, brag about.
Timmy's the Bob Ross of podcasting. Paint the picture.
You have not been introduced yet.
You got to.
Perhaps you never will.
You got shut down this time.
You haven't been introduced either.
Let me introduce our panel, a very rude panel. But first let me say we have a guest today. We're always happy when Casey can join us.
Hello, Timmy.
So welcome, Casey. How's it going?
It is going. It's going well.
We're glad you could join us today.
Yeah, I fit you into my schedule when I can.
We appreciate that. Anything new going on with you?
No.
Okay. You gotta come up with something. I mean,
it's kind of top secret, so I didn't really want to bring it up. But you know how, you know, there's been all this stuff about the Russians out there hacking the election and all that. I'm here to, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted to come in today. It was not the Russians. It was not Donald Trump. And to put it all to bed, it was me and the Swiss.
You're in the Swiss for spying?
Us and the Swiss.
Were you doing it through microwaves?
We've been yodeling back and forth, and
all
the media can move on from the Russians.
So if it weren't for you and the Swiss, Hillary would be president.
We took care of that.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's why I've been so busy, Tim.
Okay. Well, we're glad you took time from your espionage to come on in and join us.
No problem.
Let me introduce your mean sister, the Queen of Mean, the Empress of Evil. I didn't say you were lovely. You're very lovely and talented. Queen of Mean, the Empress of Evil, the Mistress of the Macabre, Pill Poppin' and Penis Lovin' and Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
Well, I was all right till a minute ago, Timmy, when you started getting shitty and snippy.
Yeah.
I was not snippy nor shitty.
We enjoyed your interview with Jeremy. It's wonderful.
We would like to retort.
We do want to retort.
No, there's no rebuttal to this. Well,
oh,
first of all,
rebuttal.
Explain.
We have.
There's an interview on.
I didn't get a chance to explain.
Podcast. We listen to podcasts. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. And it was very good.
Thank you.
But I feel like Chuck and I should have our day.
Well, you talked to Jeremy about that.
Well, I did. I voiced my concern that.
Yeah, he's busy.
It was
he's
a busy side. Man.
Evidently, he didn't give a shit.
No, that's not true. I just put it out there. But Chuck and I, and Chuck feels this way too, that, you know, we were
disparaged.
You were not. I said very nice thing about things
think the
about you guys.
The whole story has been told.
Well, I think he glossed over a lot of things. He glossed over a lot of stuff, tyrannical behavior.
And very nice things about you guys.
Wanting to replace us with monkeys.
But I was very complimentary to you guys.
Yeah,
and
I
want to thank Jeremy because that was a very nice gesture on him to have us on the podcast. So
He uses the word us. Evidently, it was just him.
It was just him.
Yeah, it was just me. But you know, they wanted the most articulate person on the podcast.
Right.
Yes, and they brought out
and then
the,
since we weren't available,
you guys, I was very nice to you. I did not say anything about replacing you with monkeys on the podcast. I said that you were.
You said my accent was hokey.
Well, come on.
Imagine
that. I said,
because you've never heard
I
that
had
you
very
sound
nice
like
things
Leghorn.
To say to you guys. And it was very nice to Jeremy to invite us on the show. And
that was very nice.
Yes. So that's all that's going on with you. You just want to complain? Is that basically it?
Really?
Par for the course.
Okay.
No. And I've had a sick kid with strep and a sick husband.
You know what? So. My throat's been kind of sore.
Y'all want to hear your shit. Shut up.
Okay, Colonel.
Thank you for your compassion.
No, you get none.
That's harsh.
You're not here yet. That's part of it. Maybe when you're here, you'll get compassion. Let me introduce the most dangerous man in podcasting today, the moral compass of our podcast, a man who has been described as an oasis in a desert of despair.
Never.
The very honorable Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm doing wonderful today, Timmy. I was happy with one thing that Jeremy recognized how integral Rudy the Wonder Dog was to our podcast.
Yes. Even Rudy got a shout out.
You mean integral?
Huh?
You mean integral?
Integral.
Yeah.
Integral.
Yeah. Integral. Okay.
What I love is when he says hawk.
Hawk.
That's what it, every time.
You don't like that he's the, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman?
Just hawk. Hawk.
Everyone calls him that.
No, nobody does.
I think
except
we need,
for you.
I think we need to add to his title. Just keep adding to it.
It's already long. It's ridiculous.
It takes a while right now.
Yeah.
Well, never mind the fact that all of his titles are self-proclaimed. So, I mean,
I have certificates. I'm an internet colonel. I'm an internet reverend.
You're not an internet colonel. Mm-hmm. You are an internet reverend because so am
I. I'm about to become an internet baron.
You did not buy those things.
It only cost $12 from one of the countries.
I know, which is pretty awesome. I'm thinking about getting a title for myself.
You have to wear a cape then.
And I've been going back and forth in my email with a Nigerian prince.
Oh, looky there. You're damn near royalty in Nigeria.
Is he looking for your bank information?
Well, yeah. He's got a bunch of money he's trying to get over to the United States, and he's going to give me a cut.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good deal.
Yeah, all I got to do is send him $2,000.
You know what you should do? You should deal with him about the same time you make your hotel reservations for CrimeCon.
Yeah, have you made your hotel?
I think I did.
No.
Have you made your hotel?
I think I did.
You either did or you didn't.
Well, Renee called me to the computer and said, what about this? And I said, okay. So I think she made it.
Oh, is it is that the same hotel?
That? Hmm?
Is it the same hotel as ours?
Are you at the Westin?
Yes.
I think it's the Westin.
Okay.
Okay. So for all of our listeners, we're going to be at CrimeCon.
In case you didn't know.
We're going to be at the CrimeCon. We're not sure about Chuck. Brandy and I will be at CrimeCon for sure.
Well, no, he'll be there. He'll just be camping out outside. He'll be in the parking garage.
Sleeping in his car.
I'm going to have a tiny house.
Oh, God.
All right. Let me give
I don't know. She Renee does not let me make travel plans.
Because she has all the money.
Yeah.
No, she says that I don't know how to use. Like, Renee will use. I'm over 50. We're in AAA. I work for the government. There's like 38 kinds of discounts you can get.
That's true.
And Renee runs this through. When she makes a reservation, she runs her algorithm. Mm-hmm. To see what is best. And so I never really know what she's doing.
Do you get the AARP discount?
I know she's got a bag that says AARP. And I know when I go to the St. Vincent de Paul in the thrift store, I show them my ID and I get 25% off.
Because your AARP card?
Mm-hmm.
Get 25% off your $2 pants?
Yes.
I don't. Dude, it's 25% off.
Do you get the senior Coke at McDonald's?
Do they have that?
Yes. Yeah. Our dad gets it.
Write that down.
Yeah, senior Coke. How old you got to be?
A senior.
What's that?
You're there, buddy. You're there.
Yeah, you're there. I mean, he gets a. But see, what our dad does is he gets the senior Coke, which is like, I don't know, this
big. It's a shot glass.
Yeah.
And just then, keeps refilling it.
No, he just keeps adding ice to it.
Yeah, it's kind of gross.
It's really gross.
I think Wendy's, they give you like one of those miniature Frosties if you're over 50.
He won't go to Wendy's. They put too much ice in it to him, and for his opinion.
Oh, and now they got
our dad's quirky.
He's a freak show.
Well, now they, you know, they got those self-serve troughs. Oh. I don't like those at all.
For the Frosties?
You know, no, for the.
Oh, you're talking about they have the freestyle, freestyle machines.
Yeah. Oh, I love those things. I like to get like 38 different flavors.
It's too much. I'm
with Tim.
I don't like it.
I'm with Tim.
You just don't like innovation or choices.
I don't like choices. I'm anti-choice.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, let's give some shout-outs to the folks who support us on Patreon. We're very grateful for our Patreon supporters. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs. There you can give a little, you can give a lot, or...
Or just a wee tiny bit, Timmy.
Everything is greatly appreciated. It helps keep us on the air, and we are very grateful for your contributions. So, with that said, I'd like to thank Cindy Liu, Lydia and her sister Ruth, Jeff and his lovely wife Dawn, Andrew Happ, of course our longtime supporters Alicia and Chip, Jen Moyer, Bridget Clavey, Jason Dykes, Brandy McBride, Kimberly Chabron, Elise, Cheryl Weldon, who I think I missed last time. Cheryl, I do apologize. Scotty J with the Killers, Cults, and Nut Jobs podcast.
Got it.
I got it right. TJ Young, Phyllis Munson, Mandy Swanson. Melissa Montoya, Jennifer Rasnick, Allie and Charlie from the Insight podcast, Jahara, Amber Scoville, Leslie Hagar, Lise, Annette Petre. Heather Poole, who said that she was the one who actually, in the interview, I credited Michael Bursall with calling us the punk rock of podcasting, and Heather said it was actually, she coined that, so shout out to both of you. Thank you, Heather. Amber Trevino, Diane Student from the History Goes Bump podcast, Tyrone, Jennifer Siemens, of course, and her mother, Linda. Joe Hopkins, who we're excited. He has a new podcast coming out this Sunday on March the 19th. It's called Now American History. So check it out. It's going to be available on iTunes. And Brittany Martin, thank you all very much for supporting the podcast, as well as Rudy the Wonder Dog. If for some reason I missed you during this please let me know. I'm sorry if I did, but we'll make it up to you next time. I said Bridget Clavey, right? Or did I?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bridget. Thank you all who support us on Patreon. Again, if you'd like to support us, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs. Okay, so we're going to talk about this freak show known as the Slave Master. This guy, John Edward Robinson, was into BDSM, Brandy.
Yeah, no judgment.
Well, he was really into it. He took it to a whole new level.
I think we got some listeners that could probably beat him into
that can relate, you think?
There's a couple in this room.
Did it take him to a different level, yeah.
Yeah, he was...
to whom are you referring, smartass?
Left and right of me.
John Edward Robinson, he was convicted in 2003 of killing three women, although it's believed that he... killed more. But anyway, let me tell you a little bit about Mr. Robinson. John Edward Robinson was born on December 27, 1943, Colonel. December 27th.
Oh, the mama was all miserable and rolled. She like waddling around like a weeble on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
You know, mom, Mrs. Robinson?
She was Mrs. Robinson. She was pregnant during the holidays.
Yeah. Thanksgiving,
and,
too.
Yeah, December 27, 1943, in Cicero, Illinois, Colonel.
No, that's where Al Capone come from.
Yeah, that's a rough neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
He was the third of five children born to an alcoholic father and a disciplinarian mother. In 1957, at the age of 13, well, he was kind of a dedicated young man. He became an Eagle Scout, which is not hard. I mean, easy to do. Become an Eagle Scout, you got to like tie knots, all kind of shit.
You have to be prepared.
Yeah.
Well, the tying of knots will come in handy later on for the guy.
Yeah. He was said to be an elite future leader. When he became an Eagle Scout, he became overly pompous, demanding that his parents and siblings salute him when he walked into the room.
That sounds reasonable.
I think it's totally reasonable.
Yeah, totally reasonable.
Well, he's got the sash. He's got all the badges.
He worked hard for that title.
Yeah.
Is he a Weeblo? Do we decide that?
Huh?
Is he a Weeblo?
I don't know.
Because he works hard for that title. Huh? Is he an Eagle Scout?
Yeah. How come nobody salutes the colonel when he comes into the room?
I do salute you when you come in.
No, giving me the finger is not saluting.
Whatever. Beggars can't be choosers.
As an Eagle Scout, he traveled to London. That's in England, Brandy. To sing for the Queen of England.
She's the ruler of
Yeah, she's well, kind of
and
the,
is that in the
figurehead, wait a minute. The monarch. They have a monarchy.
Did he sing to
over
her?
There.
Did he sing to her in the 200-year-old English language?
Yeah, the Queen's original language. Yeah.
Afterwards, afterwards backstage, and this is kind of impressive. Afterwards, backstage, he received a kiss from Judy Garland. You know, from
well, there you go. Ooh. Yes, from Wizard of Oz.
But he became upset.
Every drag queen's dream.
He became upset when the Hollywood starlet would refuse to salute him.
Well, the bitch was getting... She's a little too big for her britches.
Again, sounds reasonable.
Uppity.
This guy, it is impressive to be an Eagle Scout because that's a lot of work. And but come on. Judy Garland's not going to salute you.
Well, no.
She should have.
She has one...
Now, maybe her daughter.
Bitch wears one pair of ruby slippers and all of a sudden thinks she's better than everybody else.
Liza Minnelli, I could see.
I will tell you this, Timmy. Interesting thing.
No, it's probably not at all.
I know the family that has, they don't have, the only honorary Eagle Scout ever awarded by the Boy Scouts.
Of course you do.
Yeah, he lived on a street. He was about to get his Eagle Scout papers. He was a kid that...
Did he die?
Yeah, he was...
Of course he did.
He committed suicide. He was...
Because he lived on your street?
This kid was 15. He was 16 years old graduating from high school. I mean, he was this brilliant. He was this brilliant kid. And nobody knows why he did what he did. But he was the only person the Eagles or the Boy Scouts have ever given an honorary
or the Eagles
Scout to.
Okay, Colonel, that was an uplifting story.
Way to keep it light, Dick.
Well, this guy was an overachiever, obviously, but, he went on to become a serial killer, so I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably not in the Eagle Scout Hall of Fame, I wouldn't think.
I would not think so, no.
Do
they have one of those?
Yeah, I'm sure they do somewhere.
He told the actress, he also met another actress named Gracie Fields at backstage of this event for the Queen. It was a big deal. I mean, you got Judy Garland, you got Gracie Fields, and you got an Eagle Scout. I mean,
did Gracie Fields salute him?
I mean, fuck. The Queen, bitch. She's got.
I bet the Queen.
Did the Queen salute him? That's what I
know. No, I don't
respect
think.
Respect my authority.
I don't think the Queen saluted him, but, I mean, she'd get all kind of cool entertainment. Remember, because you remember Queen Victoria, she had Tom Thumb who went.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I bet if you're Queen, you can have just about anybody come and see.
Yeah.
I'd have a jester.
I don't think I'd have an Eagle Scout, though. You'd have a court jester?
I'd have a court jester.
With the little hat?
And I would have a tiger. I'd have a tiger on a chain.
All right.
Like the guy in Walking Dead?
Yeah. Like something like that.
Anyway, he told this actress he met in backstage that he planned to study for the priesthood. And
kind of went the other way with that one, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, you know. Go big or go home. He actually went to the seminary, Quigley Seminary in Chicago, Colonel. You know, are you
Quigley's?
Familiar? Yeah.
Quigley down under in Chicago?
Yeah, it's a seminary. Are you familiar with that?
It's right off of Clark Street.
All right. You're lying through your fucking teeth. An honor he felt he,
everything in Chicago is off of Clark Street.
Just say it's off.
According to you.
Yeah. It's right off the loop.
Right off the loop, yeah.
Later that year, he enrolled in a seminary in Chicago at a private boys' school for aspiring priest, but he dropped out after 1 year when the priest
excessive and, masturbation.
No, when the priest, other priests, and other students refused to salute. But he's really big.
He is needing some validation. He's worked hard for this shit. We're gonna salute him.
Well, he obviously felt that he was due some respect. And
clearly,
right.
Punk ass.
An honor he felt entitled to for being an Eagle Scout. I didn't know you saluted Eagle Scout. Is that a thing?
No, I don't know. I don't think so.
Evidently.
Yeah, for that guy it was.
In 1961, he enrolled at the Morton Junior College in Cicero to become a medical X-ray technician.
Did they
he
should have
went
there?
To military school. They would have saluted,
the hell out of him.
You do a lot of saluting, but, you know.
Did they salute him at Morton Technical College?
I don't think so.
MTC? Go Bearcats?
He trained to become a medical X-ray technician. With his continuing delusions of grandeur, he was determined to become
a hell of a basketball team.
Determined to become a doctor, but he dropped out after 2 years.
Wait a minute, he's going to junior college to become a doctor.
You got to start somewhere.
You start. Yeah, they don't start in college.
They don't salute doctors either, unless
unless
they're in the military. In 1964, he moved to Kansas City. And he married a woman named Nancy Jo Lynch.
Kansas
Did she salute
City,
him?
Here I come.
Who bore him his first child by a name of John Jr. in 1965.
Motherfucker better salute him.
The fruit of his loins.
And then they had JJ. And then they had twins, Colonel. It's been interesting.
Oh, who twins. Else do we know that has twins?
Hmm. Christopher and Christine were born in 1971.
Chris and Chris. Hmm? Chris and Chris.
Yes.
Yeah. They probably saluted him.
Probably.
Better have.
My kids salute me.
The same way I do.
John Edward Robinson was known to be unfaithful to his wife.
He's a player.
He went out to bars while Nancy cared for the babies, and he had many girlfriends at one time.
I can see him like in his Eagle Scout uniform.
Oh yeah, that's a panty dropper.
Trying to pick up people.
That's panty dropper. All those badges.
Hell yeah.
I think my husband does that.
Was he an Eagle Scout?
I don't. Oh. But I can see him buying one from the thrift store.
I don't think he was
going out. Going out and, hey, ladies.
With his suspenders on.
With his suspenders on. Hey, ladies.
Yeah. I can tie 47 different types of knots.
He probably can tie 47 different types of knots, though. Doesn't need to be Eagle Scout for that shit.
That is a panty dropper.
Oh, yeah.
Well, why do you think I married him?
That is a panty dropper.
I'll tell you what.
You married up. You really did.
You get on our page and say, I know... our Facebook page and say, I know how to tie 47 times the kinds
Jesus
of knots.
Jesus Christ.
And you are going to get more private messages than you can handle.
Yeah. Or
why do you think Tim started this?
No. Yeah. Or get on there and go, you know, every once in a while, I just like to choke a girl while we're having sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that weird?
Yeah. Is that a weird thing?
Then you get I'm in. Then you get I'm in.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Now, my line is that I got a pension. I don't have long to live.
No, wait a minute. I'm gonna let you finish. But let me tell you what dipshit over here told me earlier. He hasn't bought a book of stamps since he was 32 years old, because that's a lot of commitment, and he's not sure if he's gonna live to use all the stamps.
I buy them one at a time as needed.
But wait a minute. Because he says, I think I need a pair of glasses. But that's a lot of commitment. I might die before I need
it. How do you know? No, he's kidding. How do you remember the last time you bought the...
Well, I'm 56 years old. I mean, you know, I don't even I make sure my bananas are right.
Do you buy those one at a time instead of like four?
Motherfucker, don't buy bananas at all. Don't kid yourself.
I'm just saying that, you know, you get there's no sense wasting money.
Waste one, want one. Right?
Exactly. The last thing I want is to fall over dead with a stroke
and have a book of stamps.
And have a book of stamps I'll never
or
use.
Or a full refrigerator. Like
or a banana.
Like a whole gallon of milk in a refrigerator.
Waste not, want not. All right. So.
Well, it's a lot of hassle. Somebody's going to have to clean all that mess up.
Yeah, they got to bring in the cleaner.
We're going to go into Tim's apartment. There's going to be like...
Ain't going to be a damn thing there.
No.
Yeah.
I live sparse.
Wait a minute, naked light bulb and his computer.
A chair.
And one of those tiny vodka bottles.
Oh, lots of lotion. I bet he can commit to the lotion. He's good with committing to the lotion.
Well, he only buys the travel size.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just saying, you know, it's short time now.
Will not buy fucking glasses because that's too short much time. Of a commitment.
Short time. All right. Anyway, back to
So he's making his time shorter because the motherfucker's going to wander into traffic because he can't see.
Which he's already done before.
Right.
He's already John Edward.
He's the only person I know who hit a car across the street.
A moving car.
A moving car. Yeah.
No damage was done. Awesome.
Head down, feet scooting.
But didn't his head get hit by the rear view mirror?
Yeah, side mirror. It was no fun, I can tell you that. And it's like 12 degrees out, and this fucking guy is like, oh my God. Let me call 911, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to wait here. It's 12 degrees.
That's a lot of commitment for you to call 911.
It might take us 20 minutes to get here.
Waiting on that shit.
So he drives me to the hospital. And all the way he's driving me to the hospital, he's saying, if you die, I'll never drive again. And I'm like, take it easy, buddy.
So
I'm feeling better.
So then Timmy walks into the hospital. Step drag.
Stumble drool.
Yeah. Jeez. Step drag, stumble drool, exactly.
No, I just...
No, wait a minute. He doesn't step. He shuffles.
I had just watched the movie Ghost, like, the night before. And, like, when I hit the ground and I jumped up real quick, you know, I thought, I'm sure I'm going to look down and either... I'm going to see me or what's his name? What is his name?
Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze.
You were not going to see Patrick Swayze?
The visual of his
I'm
head.
Like, every conversation I'm going to have from now on, it's going to be through Whoopi Goldberg.
The visual of Whoopi. His the visual of his head hitting the side side mirror.
First of all, how quick did he jump up?
Oh, I was quick, dude. I jumped up because I was afraid.
Like a puma.
And it was like 6:30 in the morning, too. So, because it's Central Park, so you know there's a lot of traffic. So I was lucky I didn't get hit.
You need to wear reflectors on your head.
Never going to do that again. That's scary shit.
Nope, tried it once, not doing it again.
That's pretty scary shit when you get hit by a car.
Or when you hit a car.
Whatever.
It's not split hairs.
That's a difference without distinction.
Tomato.
It was not a lot of fun, I'll tell you that. I had a headache.
You had a headache?
Yeah. Did you? I didn't go to work that day.
Did you?
No, I went back home. All right.
Did
back
you
to,
walk?
Nah, back no, the dude dropped
Wait a minute,
drop
did the guy
off.
Drop you off at home?
Yeah, and then, his insurance company, I said, buddy, I, you know, whatever, I'm not going to sue you. I'm not going to, you know, just I'm just.
I just want to go home.
Yeah, but his insurance company kept bugging the shit out of me for, like, they called and asked me if I was going to file a claim, and I said no, I'm going to drop it. And they would call me like every other week. And then I'm like, if you keep calling me, yes, I'm going to file a claim. And then they said, so you're not going to file a claim? I said, no. And they said, can we record you saying that? I said, fuck no, and hung up on them. filed one, but, you know, I got
pissed. My neck hurts from answering the phone so damn much.
Yeah, it pissed me off. And not how are you doing or, you know.
You know, like, they'll write you a check for like $2,000.
Oh, yeah, I could have got something out of it, but it was.
That's a big commitment.
Yeah, I'm waiting on that check.
Yeah, that's a big commitment.
The check's got to clear.
Dude, and then one time
he's got to take it.
Dude, then I was on a bus one time, and the bus hits a telephone pole, and the telephone pole falls down on top of the bus and hits my head. The roof caves in, and I didn't even know. I didn't even know what happened. And then, like, the police come.
You didn't know what happened.
I didn't know. It was snowing, so I didn't get out of the bus.
What the fuck's that matter?
I didn't get out of the bus. It was cold. No.
It's cold out.
I didn't know what. I just knew that the roof had caved in. So, partly. And then the police came, and they took a statement and all
Jesus
that.
Christ.
And they were like, do you want to stay in the hospital? I said, no, I just want to go home. So, like, the next week I'm on the bus, and there's a different bus driver. And I said, yeah, I was in that bus last week that had the accident. And she said, oh, the one the telephone pole fell on. I didn't even know.
You really have to be more careful. I was just sitting
there.
Should
we just rip the script up and let's talk about Tim?
I don't think I want to drive with you to Indy.
No, I got to take his ass.
Bad things happen.
All right, back to the story. Back to Edward, John Edward Robinson.
You know, that's one of the, we should write a book about your life.
When, Tim's going to take a greyhound.
When bad things happen to horrible people.
Timmy Tails.
Timmy Tails, yeah.
All right, back to John Edward Robinson. So he was unfaithful to his wife. He went out to bars. He left his wife home caring for the baby.
Pimping ain't easy.
He got his first job as an X-ray technician, even though he did not finish his training at school. He was hired by Children's Mercy and General Hospital in Chicago.
Who clearly have no standards.
Yeah. He displayed fake diplomas and fake recommendation letters. Well, who hasn't done that?
Wow.
Yeah. How do you think I got hired here?
I don't know.
He told them that he needed a night job while he was in medical school to become a doctor, but he wasn't because he dropped out of junior college. This was his first fraud. He was fired after they figured out that he really didn't know what he was doing.
There you go.
But right. Yet, Brandy still has a job.
I know.
Motherfucker, please.
Robinson was arrested for his first time in Kansas City in 1969 after embezzling $33,000 from a medical practice of Dr. Wallace Graham, where he worked as an X-ray technician, a job he attained using forged credentials.
Now, see, he was sentenced
to 3 years probation. That was back in 1969.
So, to me, it seems like he's pretty competent if he can steal
$33,000
from a doctor.
I'm wondering if he was really an Eagle Scout at this point.
Yeah.
Well, because you get the respect and the
salute. I'm not saluting a motherfucker. I don't know.
I'm going to need to see some paperwork.
Exactly.
It's like a notary on it.
Yes. All right. Casey's going to tell us what happens next.
So in addition to stealing from the practice, Robinson engaged in sexual encounters with office staff and patients.
Mm. Is that inappropriate?
No.
Not if they're attractive.
Not if they're attractive. Right. Only the ugly ones.
Right. Yeah. Do they have to be conscious?
I don't think so.
I think they put them out for some of this stuff.
Probably.
He bragged to Dr. Graham's 15-year-old son about his double life and his sexual liaisons.
See, don't go bragging.
Mm-mm. Not to a 15-year-old boy.
No.
You ought to see the pussy I get around here.
I know. He told,
stick with me, kid.
He told Dr. Graham's son that he liked to go to the club, that male transvestites frequently, that he visited male transvestites frequently and raped
them.
Was that wrong?
Maybe. Just a wee bit.
Not only did he visit them, he raped them.
Well, that's wrong.
That is wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know that you can call when you go to somebody's house to rape them a visit.
Probably not.
Like, a visit is when you bring cookies.
Right.
You socialize.
They serve a beverage.
Yeah.
As soon as it turns rapey, that visit is over.
It's no longer a visit. It's
but
an,
did they call
it's
no,
an intrusion.
Did they, transvestite, call no rapesies?
Well,
Are they obligated to call no rapesies in their own home?
I think he's got a point. Tim's got a point.
No, in your own home.
I don't think you have to in your own home.
No rapesies applies all the time.
No rapesies is understood if you're in your own home.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like dibs.
It's like dibs.
It's my shotgun. House. I don't have to call dibs in my own house.
We, on this podcast, are opposed to rape in any circumstances.
It's on our platform.
Yeah. Part of our platform.
In 1969, Robinson, and he kind of went opposite of you here, Tim, he was arrested for stealing 6,200 stamps from a mobile oil company.
Well, motherfucker was living forever, and he was going to mail lots of letters.
You're never going to die? Jesus, you immortal motherfucker?
He's got... You know what? 6,200 stamps, that almost covers as many Christmas cards as my wife sent out. He made a deal with the court to pay restitution, and the charge was dropped to a misdemeanor.
That's a lot of fucking restitution, $6,200.
But they're probably only 5 cents apiece.
Yeah, but still, that's still some cash.
Yeah.
In 1970...
He embezzled $33,000, I guess he
so
had
So he's
it.
Good.
Yeah.
In 1970, Robinson violated probation by moving back to Chicago without his probation officer's permission and took a job as an insurance salesman at R.B. Jones Company. Well, I need to go cancel my policy.
Yeah. Is that who yours is through?
Unfortunately.
Harvey.
In 1971, he was arrested once again for embezzlement at that firm and ordered back to Kansas City where he where his probation was extended. In 1971, Robertson decided to start his own medical consulting business called Professional Services Association. 1 year later, a federal grand jury in Missouri returned a four-count indictment for securities fraud, mail fraud, and falsely misrepresenting his company, PSA.
How many stamps did he steal?
62,000, so I don't know how there's mail fraud.
So 6,200.
6,200,
sorry. 6,200. Robertson pleaded no contest to the charges of interstate securities fraud and was fined $2,500 and furthered his probation by 3 more years. You know what? At some point, quit fucking extending probation to these
right.
Son of
yeah,
bitches.
You need to do something.
Yeah, a lot of these, a lot of cases we see, they keep giving these guys more and more chances.
But if one of us did that, we'd be in jail forever.
If I did, and I would, I'd be doing hard time.
If I stole 6,200 stamps, they'd throw me in maximum security.
And I wouldn't last 5 minutes before I got.
You know, I'm not going to run the
you
risk.
Are kind
of
pretty.
Oh,
Casey.
I'd get it.
I'm
quick.
Not going to run the risk of anal rape for 6,200 stamps.
Well, he was.
You, I know.
You won't
saying.
Risk crossing the street for, I mean, 5 stamps from what I understand.
I don't know.
He'll risk it.
To me,
he just
going
won't
to,
make it.
To me, going to prison would be like the worst fucking thing that could happen. I'd rather
well,
die.
Yeah.
Not the worst
and that's
thing.
What would happen. But see, that's what would happen to us. This guy's going to get probation forever until he starts, you know.
Because he's a dick and they don't want to deal with
because
him.
Because he's, you know, until he turns into a serial killer.
Okay, it would have been.
Well, I wonder if they were fucking saluting him when he was in.
In today's dollars, Timmy.
What kind of salute?
Yeah.
In today's dollars, he stole. Now, in those days, 1969, it was $720 worth of stamps, but today it would be $4,700
worth of stamps. It was a piece
that's
of change.
A lot of goddamn stamps.
Yeah.
That's a lot of letters from prison.
That was before email.
So it was.
you are correct.
Thank you.
It was at about this time that he cultivated and maintained the outward appearance of a personable, community-minded citizen and family man.
Gacy.
Much like Casey.
He became a scout master.
Casey, too.
Well, yeah, him, too.
He's a scout master.
A baseball coach and a Sunday school teacher.
All right.
I have been all those things, believe it or not.
I don't.
I do not, yeah.
I have been a scout master, a baseball coach, and a Sunday school teacher.
Get you some.
Impressive.
Yeah. How about you, Devil?
Were you a serial
Devil?
Killer as
hey,
well?
Mic drop. There you go.
There you go.
In 1977, he talked his way onto the board of directors of a local charitable organization and forged a series of letters from its executive director to the mayor of Kansas City.
Chuck did that as well.
I have forged a number of letters in my lifetime.
And from the mayor to other civic leaders, commending his generous volunteer efforts and generally singing his praises.
So he's writing his own letters of recommendation.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. His first act on the board was to order stationery for the group, which he forged a letter from the executive director to the mayor.
He ordered stationery?
Yeah. This
you got to put the stamps on something.
This is getting really wordy, but he ended up winning Man of the Year.
Can't imagine.
For this civic organization.
Did Stacy did Casey just blah 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 to me?
I did. I went yada yada yada.
Wait a minute. No.
That's okay because the point is in this one is pretty funny. He created he convinced him to create this award Man of the Year
at
award,
the civic organization.
And then he won it and then he won it himself.
Well, sure. Well, clearly.
Did that get him another salute?
Oh, I'm sure it did. But he's Bob Ross. You have to he's painting a picture.
Yeah, Casey, you're leaving out the flowers.
I yada yada'd.
Yeah. How does Casey get by?
He's a guest.
He doesn't know?
He's a guest.
He doesn't know the rules?
He's a guest. He could be a permanent member of this podcast. You keep going.
In 1979, Robertson finally completed probation. But by 1980, Jesus. Was under arrest again on multiple charges, including embezzlement, check forgery, for which he served 60 days in jail in 1982.
Okay, so he's a dick, and he's creating all the, you know, he's doing all this.
He's a dick. You just.
These petty crimes and shit, but he's nothing at this point that he's violent.
Right.
He formed a bogus, after jail, he formed a bogus hydroponics business and swindled a friend out of $25,000 who had hoped to receive a fast investment return to pay for his dying wife's health care.
Oh, well. So yeah, she died.
Yeah.
Too bad.
I bet she didn't have 6,200 stamps.
She didn't need them.
At this, clearly. This was the time when he began, reportedly began sexually propositioning many of his neighbors' wives.
There you go.
Triggering a fist fight with one of the husbands.
Have we seen a picture of this guy? Is he a player?
Nah. I mean, I saw a picture of him, but he's not. Go ahead and I'll bring one up for you.
In 1983, Robinson also joined a secret BDSM cult called the International Council of Masters.
Oh, now, is this a real one?
Yeah. Them,
is this a real one, or is this shit he made up?
Or you've never heard of them, have you?
No.
So they must not be real.
I have no...
it's an internet group, Casey.
Well, that's what I figured. If anybody's going to know it...
It's Timmy.
It's this guy.
Timmy got the black leather and the ball gag.
That is not true at all.
He became...
The gift mask.
He became
studded its... wrist bracelets.
He became its quote-unquote slave tail. Master.
Oh, slave became, master. He became slave master.
Which whose duties?
Well, fucking salute him.
I salute that shit now.
I bet this bitch is saluting
I bet they do, or he cracks a whip.
His duties included luring victims to gatherings to be tortured and raped by the cult members.
So, luring victims?
So,
hold on.
So now he's getting freaky.
Wow. Oh.
How do you...
This is a picture of it.
How do you look?
It's an old picture.
You this is Bob like from the BDSM club. I'm the master.
We're having a gathering.
We're having cookies and you know.
And you get a free toaster if you
come. Yeah, we would like you to visit.
Yeah.
In 1984, having started two more fraudulent shell companies.
What happened?
Equa Plus and Equa 2 were the two company names.
So he's creative.
Yeah. Around this time, Robertson's rents a duplex in the name of his company, Equa 2, and turns it into a brothel.
Yes.
Nice.
See,
yes.
That's entrepreneurial
spirit.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
I think he should get a tax break.
He hires Linda Stevens-Jones to run it and finds other girls to join. The brothel specialized in rough S&M. Robertson at this time also became... The leading member of a secret S&M cult called the International Council of Masters.
Oh,
that's not secret.
It's international.
It's the same one, isn't it? So, yeah.
It's international.
Worldwide.
He really wanted that salute.
Yeah. He's working hard for it, man. I'm telling you. He don't give up. Robinson also hired Paul Godfrey, 19, to work as a sales representative.
For the brothel?
It doesn't say if that sales representative is for one
of his fake companies. It was a sham company.
Godfrey told friends and family that Robinson was sending her away for training.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Paula Godfrey. I'm sorry, not Paul.
I got
to
go to training.
Here's a picture of him as a Boy Scout.
As a Ute?
Oh, chunky.
No.
Look like Pudgley.
Chunky motherfucker.
A little bit.
So she went away for sales training after not hearing anything further from her. Godfrey's parents filed a missing persons report.
I don't see Judy Garland saluting this guy.
Police questioned Robinson, who denied any knowledge of her whereabouts. Several days later, they received a typewritten letter from Godfrey's signature at the bottom of a document stating that she was thankful for Robinson's help, that she was okay, and that she did not want to see her family.
Yeah, Brandy, if I ever disappear and you get a typewritten letter from me, you know something's up.
The investigation at that point was terminated, as Godfrey was of legal age and there was no evidence of wrongdoing.
And plus, they got a letter.
No trace of Paula Godfrey has ever been found.
That letter's not shady at all.
No.
Sign
me.
And I wouldn't think the guy who's, you know, notorious for signing a bunch of illegal documents.
Oh, right. No, he wouldn't.
He wouldn't be suspicious.
He's learned his lesson by now.
I wouldn't even have thought to look.
He's already got in trouble for that.
I think we need to, because we've never really talked about this, and you know, as you've mentioned, you don't buy more than one stamp at a time because, you know, something could happen to you. So if we ever do get that letter, you know, when you disappear, or, you know, you just, you're in your apartment, you die, your cat eats your face, and whatever. Are you available once a week, Case?
If the money's right.
Okay, because I got, yeah. I mean.
It's not.
We're going to have to go to the GoFundMe page.
We got
to. We're going to have to really step up the.
You know, because I got, Taylor can do the research. I mean, yeah. Pretty much any monkey with a computer could do the research.
You know, I guess I could always, right, I could always phone in. There's ways that I can be.
As you do most things. Just phone it in.
Yeah, the devil phones it in most of the time on her.
Fuck you, do not.
Yeah, we could make arrangements. We could
so
make
if something happens, so listeners, worry not about Timmy's, you know,
I think if you get a letter from Tim saying that he's dead and it's got more than 3 stamps on it.
Yeah.
That's your first clue that it's not really from Tim.
No, well, the thing is, I'm the only one who can upload this stuff to Libsyn, so it's not going anywhere.
I'll chuckle do it.
Yeah, I'll right. do it.
Chuckle do it.
No, he doesn't know how. We'll the guy can't even make his fucking hotel reservation.
We'll get Casey to hack into the account.
Is he going
to
be the producer?
He's got Georgia. Georgia can do all the research.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I don't want to twist her. I don't want to make her twisted.
Then Campbell.
She's already twisted.
Yeah, so we'll get Campbell to do it.
Okay, what's next?
In 1985, Robinson was using the name John Osborne, met Lisa Stasis. Is that per?
That's close enough.
Stasi.
Mm-hmm.
And her 4-month-old daughter, Tiffany.
Yeah, this is weird.
At a battered women's shelter in Kansas City. Dude, I bet that's a good place to pick up chicks.
You know where there's no
damage. Damage.
You know where, damage. You know another place to pick up women? The STD clinics. I mean...
Because you know to clean.
Oh, yeah.
You know to clean. Well, I mean, you got to give them a week.
They're working on being
clean. You
know,
like, how about you meet them there, and it's like, how about we go out next
week? Yeah, you want to make sure they got the. You want to make sure they have 3 or 4 days to take their penicillin.
That's what I mean. Yeah, you give them a week, and it's like.
He promised her a job in Chicago at an apartment and daycare for her baby and asked her to sign several sheets of blank stationery.
Good Lord.
A few.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
3 days later, Robinson contacted his brother and sister-in-law, who had been unable to adopt a baby through traditional channels, and informed them that he knew a baby whose mother had committed suicide. For a $5,500 fee to an imaginary lawyer, Don and Helen Robinson received Tiffany Stasis, whose identity was confirmed by DNA testing in 2000.
And that takes balls. You kill a woman, and then you sell her
sell
kid.
Sell her kid.
That is ballsy.
Yeah. That doesn't seem like something that an
Eagle Scout. Entrepreneurial.
I think that's against the Eagle Scouts rules.
I would think they would have
stripped
him
conduct.
Of this by now.
Huh?
I would have thought they would have stripped him of his Eagle Scoutness.
Besides the DNA,
Eagle Scoutless.
Besides the DNA testing, they discovered a set of authentic appearing adoption papers with the forged signatures of 2 lawyers and a judge. So there he goes again.
Motherfucker forging.
So there he goes again, forging shit. Lisa Stasis was never heard from again either. John Edward Robinson would later be charged with illegally setting up an adoption. In 1987, Catherine Clampett, 27, left her child with her parents in Wichita Falls. Texas. Yeah, Wichita Falls, Texas, and moved to Kansas City to find employment. She was hired by Robertson, who reportedly promised her extensive traveling and a new wardrobe.
Yeah, well, new wardrobe.
Yeah.
Forget the traveling. I don't even like traveling.
Yeah, I like traveling.
Some new threads.
But I like me some. Yeah. Well, you know, the colonel is sharp.
Well-dressed man. Yeah.
Chuck needs new skinny jeans.
Yeah.
What happens next, Brandy?
What happens next, Brandy?
Well, Brandy, what happens next?
I'm okay. So, you know what?
So what happens?
Okay. So, Catherine Clampett. No Beverly Hillbilly reference, nothing.
Black gold. Texas
it's too
tea.
Easy.
Yeah, it's too easy.
Catherine Clampett vanished in June of that year. Her missing persons case remains open.
Although I heard Jethro was hung.
I'll tell you what. Now, you know what? There are times. Now, Ellie Mae got all the glory in that show. But there were times that Granny did not look that bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
Hmm. You know she's given some head in her day.
You know Granny did.
Jesus
and she
Christ.
She just popped those choppers out, man. It's like,
wee doggy.
Yeah, yeah. She had those big old pistol grip ears.
That's what Jed says when he comes. Wee doggy.
Gross.
You know, ain't none of them. Now, that's what I always thought was suspicious, because ain't none of them. And who was the boss? Who
you know,
Mr. Drysdale.
Mr. Yeah. Drysdale.
And you got you know, his secretary, Jane.
Jane.
Yeah, yeah. You know who Jethro would be banging at in the cement pool.
Yeah,
the cement pond.
Yeah.
You know, I've never seen an episode of Beverly Hills.
You know what? I may have brought this up before, but it's always bothered me.
Oh, boy.
Petticoat Junction.
I don't know anything about Petticoat Junction.
Yeah.
Okay, the three girls are in the water tank.
They're all named after boys, too. Bobby Joe, Billy Joe.
Yeah.
Is this a TV show?
It used to be.
Petticoat Junction.
Before you were born.
Yeah. Had three hot girls in it. They lived in the country. But in the thing, they're shown taking a bath in a water tower.
I think they were swimming.
Do you want to drink that water then?
Right. I mean, you got
they're hot enough.
Oh, they were hot back in the day.
They were hot, but
fucking still, Sam Drucker was tapping one of those.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Sam was.
If they're hot enough, you'll drink the bath water.
Yeah.
No show.
But it just seems like doggies. And this was back in the '70s, so you know there was no grooming going on down
there.
Oh,
that was a 70 bush. Yeah, that's nasty.
So, you know, you turn on your faucet and it's all clogged.
We're going to make a plea to all the women on the History Dreams of Podcast page to please shave.
Nope. We're not doing that.
You don't have to shave.
We're not doing that. We're not making that.
We do not
that's
approve
a matter of
the
personal preference.
No, we do not approve of the 70 bush.
Nope, we're not doing that.
Oh, I like if you can weave beads in it and everything else, that's good with me.
That Rasta bush.
Get the whole Stevie Wonder thing going with that. that's good with me. I don't care.
I know. I mean, you're not picky.
As long as I've been married, I don't care if it's. And you know
as
what?
As long as it's something different.
I feel like
he cares about that.
We have been.
Well, what's your preference? Do you like a big bush? Do you like a
I don't. Why
like
are
a,
we having
a
this conversation?
I like a well-trimmed,
landing strip,
but
or?
Not. You know, I don't like it to look like. You know, it was a newborn. I don't like you just ripped a diaper.
Right,
off
but you don't
thing.
Also don't like, you know.
You don't want buckwheat in the headlock.
But you
yeah. But you know what? I think we've been doing women a disservice, and I'm going to apologize for that because we've been using this term decaying vagina. And I think it's a little
sexist.
Harsh for
you
women.
Think?
Yeah.
Huh.
So from now on. I think the more politically correct term, Timmy, is depreciating vagina.
Okay.
You know, it's a more accurate representation because as you get older, that vagina loses its value.
And you don't appreciate it as much.
You don't appreciate it. So it's depreciating vagina, not decaying vagina.
What about depreciating dick? Because as you get older, it doesn't work as well. Once you drive it off the lot, it loses most of its value.
They have medicine for that.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Just shave, ladies. That's all I'm saying.
In a gesture to you,
I'm
devil,
with you, Timmy.
As a peace offering Timmy. To you, to show that I respect your kind, your people, your tribe, I will no longer use the term decaying vagina. It will be depreciating vagina.
because I think that's a more accurate
Well, that's quite the compromise that he's making on your behalf, Brandy.
Wow, yeah.
All right, continue with the story.
Jesus Christ. From 1987 to 1993, Robinson finally was incarcerated, first in Kansas from 87 to 91 on multiple fraud convictions, and thereafter in Missouri for another fraud conviction and a parole violation. At Western Missouri Correctional Facility, he met and ingratiated himself with 49-year-old Beverly Bonner, the prison librarian, who, upon his release...
Who hasn't thought
Are you sure her name is not Boner?
Did she have those glasses
and
the
long
hair up in a bun? Everybody's thought about the librarian.
She just, like, shakes her hair loose.
Yeah, boy.
You've got late fees. Come over here.
You gotta work those late fees off? Gross. Mm-hmm. All right, so... So upon his release, left her husband and moved to Kansas to work for this dickweed.
Well, so you meet a guy in prison.
Yeah, and think he's on the up and up.
Well, he was a Eagle Scout.
He was an Eagle Scout. She probably saluted him. When Robinson was freed, Bonner divorced her husband and moved to Olathe, Kansas.
So her husband must not have been much of a winner if she's leaving him for an inmate.
Right. She told her family she had a job with Robinson's company, and the job included foreign travel. Beverly told her ex-husband she was going to be traveling abroad and gave him an address at a post office box that he could use to mail her alimony checks. Hmm. After Robinson arranged for Bonner's alimony checks to be forwarded to a Kansas post office box, her family never heard from her again.
See, I'm getting to get the feeling this guy is dishonest.
Yeah, well. She disappeared almost immediately, and Robinson placed her belongings in a storage locker in a Kansas City suburb. Bonner's mother would send Beverly her alimony checks to a mailbox in Olathe at a business called The Mailroom. For several years, Bonner's mother continued forwarding her checks, and Robinson just continued cashing them.
Yeah, so this guy's cashing in on his...
By now...
Selling kids. He's killing people, getting their... checks.
By now, Robinson had discovered the internet and roamed various social networking sites using the name Slave Master, looking for women who enjoyed playing the submissive partner role during sex.
Did you ever run across him, Brandy?
Why the fuck would I run across him?
Let me tell you, I had a Lanny
gonna have you all
fucking Lanny.
Lanny gonna be wearing his Judas Priest leather suit.
You remember when AOL was popular?
I do.
There was a woman I worked with.
Dial up.
And she... Oh, I hated that. I wouldn't be busy. It's busy.
Well, especially when you're trying to get online and you didn't want anybody to really know that you were trying to get online.
No house, no neighborhood knows. But I knew this lady professionally, and she got on those... BDSM chat rooms, and she was meeting all these guys all over the country. They were strangers tying her up and shit. And it's like, God, you know, I just wonder she wasn't killed. But
do you have a name?
No. She married one of them. Oh. Actually, she married a
Timmy
dom.
Timmy hit it and quit it.
Yeah.
She married a dom, but that shit, you know, that you go let a stranger tie you up. You're really fucking putting yourself out there.
All right, so he's looking, let's see. The first victim he met online was Sheila Faith, 45, whose 15-year-old daughter, Debbie, was confined to a wheelchair due to spina bifida. John portrayed himself as a wealthy man who would support Sheila and Debbie, pay for therapy for Debbie, and give Sheila a job. They packed up their belongings and moved to the Kansas City area, where they promptly disappeared. They vanished, but their mail, including their disability checks, was being forwarded to a mailbox at the mailroom. For years, the Social Security Administration continued to send checks to this suburban Missouri post office box that they had given out as their new address. Every month, John Robinson came by and picked up checks made out to Bonner and the Faiths. Robinson had collected enough money from Beverly Bonner's alimony checks and from Faith's Social Security checks to put $95,000 down on a house.
Damn. He was balling.
On Big Pine Key, Florida. Surprisingly, Robinson became known as a dirty old man in his own neighborhood, and he made sexual advances to many of his female neighbors.
Did they salute him?
Well, here we go. And this kind of says it all here. He crept around the trailer park slowly, driving by their trailers on a golf cart when he knew that their husbands were away.
He put down $95,000 on a trailer?
No. No.
Well, if his neighbors lived in trailers.
Well, this might have been before he moved.
Yeah.
You never can tell. Tim's shit gets all fucked up.
See, there's borderline between being the creepy old man and then just the perverted old man that everybody likes and thinks is funny.
Well,
I think he crossed the line.
He did cross the line.
You know, and maybe the trailer came with a golf cart. That jacks the price
trailers
up.
Trailers do come with a golf cart.
Yeah, that jacks the price up. Meanwhile, he continued his online presence. Gradually, Robinson became known in the increasingly popular BDSM online chat rooms. He spent a lot of time in front of his 5 computers searching the BDSM on the internets.
You don't really need 5 computers, but...
Well, evidently you do.
I'm just saying, you
know. Guy don't know how to use split screen?
Maybe he is using split screen on all of them.
Well, maybe, because if he's on AOL, that shit takes forever to... connect.
Remember back when you could see like the picture download?
Oh,
like,
real slow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It'd start at the top and then work its way down to the bottom.
Like 20 minutes later.
And then get stuck. It always got stuck right at her neck.
Right at the neck.
Yeah.
Right at the cleavage.
Right at the cleavage. And then you would be like, come on, come on, come on.
I don't remember that.
Timmy still lives it. All right. Let's see.
Renee's still got a Hotmail email address.
So. Hey, if it works for her. In 1998, Robinson moved back to Kansas City, where he continued his online activities, meeting women from around the country. But back in 1997, Robinson became acquainted online with a freshman at Purdue University named Isabella Luica, a Polish immigrant living in north central Indiana with her parents, both of whom were university professors. In December of 1987, Isabella told her parents that she was dropping out of school to move to Kansas City, where a rich entrepreneur had offered her an internship.
He can sell his bullshit.
Wow. When she moved to Kansas City, Robinson gave her an engagement ring and brought her to the county registrar, where they had paid for a marriage license that was never picked up. Or they paid for a marriage license.
Okay. So he's like stringing her along.
Where's his first wife?
I don't know.
Does she still think they're married?
Yeah, they remain married.
That would have been the
whole thing.
Jesus God.
I would have thought that would have been in there somewhere.
No, they remain married.
You would think.
Continue, please.
It's unclear.
History dweebs, where you get 75% of the story.
Yeah.
Continue, Brandy.
The other 25% is still trapped between Tim's ears.
I like to keep some surprises.
That's how Timmy gets them.
It's unclear whether Isabella believed that she and Robinson were married. She told her parents she'd married, but never told them her husband's name. She did sign a 115-item slave contract. Oh. Well, the relationship agreement.
Yeah. 115 items.
115 items.
He went easy on her. When me and the missus signed, I had like 306.
No, you didn't.
That you signed for her?
Yeah.
That gave Robinson almost total control over every aspect of her life, including her bank accounts.
Is that legally binding, you think?
I don't know. Well, if it's notarized.
If you get it notarized.
It's just as binding as dibs.
Well, you can't notarize dibs.
Yeah, I don't think dibs are is.
You can't notarize dibs, but as soon as you notarize this,
shotgun is legal in court.
It's
recognized.
Yeah. Right. And I believe is recognized as a defense for murder. I called shotgun.
Yeah.
He got in there. Mm-hmm. Motherfucker had to go. See? All right. So I don't know why he needed control over her bank accounts. The girl was, 18, 19?
Oh, continue.
She had nothing. During the summer.
You haven't read the script. Just continue.
I am.
Read the damn script.
Wait a minute. You skip half a page.
He's a guest.
Listen here. You got one job here, devil.
Jesus.
Just
Christ.
Read the words on the page, all right? If I could get a goddamn monkey to do
it. I know.
I have
a sense of wonderment.
I'm allowed to use some discernment on the script.
I just had wonderment. I just didn't know.
All right. Continue.
I'm don't know. I'm a little hurt.
Continue, please.
We want to interview with Jeremy, goddammit.
Oh, shit.
Continue, please.
During the summer of 1999, she disappeared. Robinson told a web designer he employed that she had been caught smoking marijuana and was deported.
That'll fucking do it.
Well, yeah. You know what? If we deported every immigrant, then we wouldn't have an immigrant
problem. She
wasn't
even an immigrant. Her
right.
Her parents were teachers at the university.
I was going to say, how do you get
deport her anyway.
She's from here. Huh? Fuck it.
Well, clearly. About the time she disappeared, Robinson convinced... Jesus Christ.
He's not the most honest guy in the world. So.
Well, Robinson convinced a lonely, licensed, practical nurse by day and submissive slave by night named Suzette Troughton to move from Michigan to Kansas so they could travel the world together. Robinson promised her $60,000 a year if she would take care of his diabetic, wheelchair-bound father. In addition to the $60,000 a year, Robinson promised that he, Suzette, and his, air quote, father, would be traveling the world together. Troughton's mother received several typed letters, purportedly mailed while the couple was abroad, although the envelopes were stamped with Kansas City postmarks. So Inspector Clouseau, she is not. And the letters were, her mother said, uncharacteristically mistake-free. But she bought it.
She couldn't spell or shit.
But she bought it. Yeah. Later, Robinson told Troughton's mother that she had run off with an acquaintance after stealing money from him. Around this time, Robinson buys 16 acres of old farmland in Kansas.
I don't know. One of these fucking listeners will tell us how we
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Lost something.
Kansas. He stores an old trailer on the property, which police will later find two bodies. Like many other serial killers, Robinson became increasingly careless over time and did a progressively poorer job of covering his tracks.
You would think they would get better.
You would.
That way they get overconfident, I think, is what happens. Yeah. They get by with it so much.
By 1999, he had attracted the attention of authorities in both Kansas and Missouri as his name cropped up in more and more missing persons investigations.
Well, that's not good.
No, it's...
You don't want to be on the police's radar.
You do not.
And now in early 2000, with police now monitoring his online activity, Robinson sent money to Vicky, a recently laid-off psychologist from Texas, who was suffering from depression and lack of meaningful relationships. Well, who isn't?
Gosh, I mean, sounds my life.
Yeah. Now, police had tapped his phone and were aware of his contacts with Vicky. Now, this is a really fucked up part here. When she visited him over the Easter weekend, the police listened in the next room of a hotel while Robinson and Vicky engaged in very rough sex.
Who hasn't done that when you're in a hotel room?
But yeah, that's true. But here's the fucked up part. Robinson forced her into acts Vicky did not want to do. Took photos
that's the dirty flower.
Was it in the relationship agreement?
Was the dirty flower.
That's a different girl.
He forced her into acts she did not want to do.
A lot of girls.
He took photos when she was tied up despite her explicit instructions not to do that.
So he's raping her at this point.
And slapped her much harder than she expected. These acts constituted sexual battery, of course. Well, and I would think rape. But in addition, Robinson left her without any money and alone in a strange city for several days before returning. When he came back, he ordered Vicky to return to Texas to await further instructions, but he kept the $500 worth of S&M toys and props she brought with her.
Yeah.
So this woman's got an investment in this thing. But hold on. So this guy's shoving a Kong up the girl's backside, beating the hell out of her.
Yeah, he's being rough.
The police are listening in from the next room.
Nothing to see here.
And what are they doing? I mean, what the
fuck? Well, they're trying to build a case against him of being... but continue.
He got $500 worth of dildos here.
Sell those on the secondary market.
Yeah, you can get...
Yeah, use dildos, though, man. I don't know.
Well, you got to boil them when you get them. But now, Gianna, an unemployed accountant from Texas, came to Kansas City ready to begin work
as his executive assistant for his hydroponics business. He put her up in a hotel where he had sodomized and robbed Vicky, and left for several days. When he returned, he savagely beat her for not assuming a position naked in the corner when he entered the room.
Sounds reasonable.
Totally reasonable.
Sounds reasonable.
Doesn't the missus expect you to be naked in the corner when you, you go home, and if she expected you to be naked in the corner?
Well, yeah, but I mean, she.
No, he does that for fun. She doesn't ask him to do that. She, he just does
actually,
it.
Actually, that's she one prefers of those that things he doesn't.
He jumps out naked like Kato and
yeah.
in the Pink Panther.
Yeah.
That is actually frowned upon in my house.
Kato.
So he savagely beats the girl and has sex with her. Now, she was not interested in extreme physical pain or photography, but he took his liberties with her and photographed the bruises on her body. Now, this pretty much follows the same pattern as before. He gave her $100 and sent her home, ordering to put her possessions in storage and return back. She followed his orders, but when she returned to Kansas, Robinson continued to play too rough and abandoned her in the motel. In fear, she contacted the police, and he was arrested in June 2000 at his farm near La Cigan, Kansas, after Gianna, and Vicky both filed sexual battery complaints against him.
Yeah, what happened at first, the first incident where they were next door? They tried to get her to file charges against him, but she wouldn't. And so when this other lady filed charges against him, then she came forward.
Oh, okay. So you was just holding that tip out for me. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep, that's the 25%.
Yeah. A task force searching the premises found decaying bodies of... So he's arrested, and they file... So apparently they must get the search warrant here. Because a task force searching the premises found the decaying bodies of two women, later identified as Isabella and Suzette, in two 85-pound chemical drums. I didn't know they had 85-pound chemical drums.
They do for him.
Across the state line in Missouri, other members of the task force searched a storage facility where Robinson rented two garages, found three similar chemical drums containing corpses subsequently identified as Beverly Bonner, Sheila, and Debbie Faith. All five women were killed in the same way, by one or two blows to the head. Investigators identified a witness who was willing to testify that John Edward Robinson had been a member of a BDSM cult involving bondage, rape, and torture.
Did you ever run into him at the meetings, Brandy?
Wait a minute. You're coming at me?
I'm just saying.
You and your little glass bubble.
I'm just saying, maybe.
You are coming at me?
I'm just saying, you've been known to, you know, to...
Have I? Yeah, have known, I been... Wait a minute.
You've been known to use Cato 9 tails a time or two.
Have I been known to troll the internet for tail?
You've been known to have naked men in the corner in your house.
No.
So what?
And your office
doesn't count.
Yeah. No, it really doesn't count. And I keep telling him to get dressed. And if he doesn't keep his junk put away, we're going to have a bigger problem. Because that shit's making me real uncomfortable.
All right.
But you and your little glass slippers, glass carriage, glass sit over
just
there.
Just asking.
I'm not the one who trolls for tail on the internet. I'm not the one that has vagina pop up on my phone when,
it
you
was
know,
the wrong number.
It was not a wrong
not
number.
Wrong number. Because she sent a text
think she's insinuating something here, Tim.
No.
I think she's besmirching my good name.
There seems to be a pattern.
You just happen to hold my phone when someone, some harlot who obviously had the wrong number.
No.
Not the wrong number because it said, how do you like this, Tim?
Well, it was another Tim.
It was traumatizing.
I'm not the only Tim.
Tim, that sounds reasonable.
Thank you.
It's traumatizing.
You should have seen how fast she gave that phone back to me, man.
She almost dropped it on
like
the ground.
It was like she was touching
it. It was like the phone was on fire.
Brandy, was it a hairy vagina?
Yeah.
It was.
God. She's like, oh, take this.
Yeah, I don't need that. First of all, because.
Was it a hairy vagina?
First of all, I don't know.
Trimmed?
No, it's
no, nothing. This was an underappreciated
vagina. Wait a minute. Tim remembers. you know, his weird vagina call that he had no part of. He remembers it.
Well, why would you delete your vagina from your phone?
And never forget a vagina.
Would. Yeah.
Never forget a vagina.
Jesus Christ.
Well, it's...
I almost caught the clap from all of
She went in there and washed her hands.
I had to go in and take a Silkwood shower.
That probably is a good idea after touching his phone.
Right.
It did sanitize that.
It smelled funny.
I didn't feel good about it.
Excuse me.
Well, don't you, can't you just turn notifications off?
I was showing her something on a YouTube video. I can't help it if some random person sends me a vagina picture.
Well, you can, because I can tell you what.
I don't solicit it.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I have never gotten a vagina picture on my phone.
I'll forward you one.
I know.
Okay. We need to make that happen.
I can tell you, this phone has not seen vagina.
Well, I'm sorry. It doesn't surprise me.
But there's not just random people,
dear listeners,
throwing twat shots into the ether.
If you'd like to send a vagina text, please send it to 513.
The Colonel has never received an unsolicited or solicited boob shot or vagina shot.
But yeah, you don't have.
Randy's getting one now.
Yeah,
maybe.
All right, back on track, Colonel. Tell us about this guy. Robinson.
That guy.
John Edward Robinson.
So they found the bodies. They start to do an investigation. They get a bunch of witnesses together. And according to the witness, his job in this cult was to recruit women. These women were then raped and tortured. Now, the witness, who remains unnamed to this day, saw Robinson participate in 3 Kansas City area rituals where no one was killed, but the women were tortured extensively, sometimes even carving the face and abdomen of the victims and the cutting off of body parts.
Ew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's a serious BDSM.
Nothing says true love like giving up a pinky.
I guess.
You know, it's when it, you know, you take things too far.
They obviously didn't know the safe word.
No, that's what I mean.
Well, as Amber Krupp would say, it's hard to say the safe word when you got duct tape on it. So,
hey, see, I can see her and Jen Wick kind of
leading one.
I can see her facilitating.
Yeah, just a meeting. we were just visiting. So anyway, in 2002, he was...
They have, like, old name tags on, like, Hello, my name is Jen.
Hello, my name is Jen, bitch.
Slut.
So in
it doesn't say, hello, my name is... It says, say my name.
Say my name, bitch.
Jen.
Whore.
Yeah.
So in 2002, Robinson was sentenced to death in the Kansas City murders of Troughton and Lewicka.
Well deserved.
And life in prison for killing Stasi because she had been murdered before Kansas reinstated the death penalty. So he got grandfathered in on that one. Now, he could become the first convict legally executed by lethal injection in the state of Kansas. Now, he simultaneously faced a complex legal dilemma in Missouri.
Isn't living in Kansas punishment enough?
Which I think, you know, once you got the death penalty, I don't know that you're worried about complex legal dilemmas
in Missouri. Sure you are, because some states will...
Well, where the prosecutors were actively pursuing another murder charge based on evidence discovered there. Now, his attorney opposed his extradition because Missouri is far more aggressive in capital punishment than Kansas. See, I would have thought it would be the other way around, because those Kansas people...
You are
children
wrong.
Of the corn and whatnot, they'll fucking hang your ass in a minute.
No, they will.
I think they still
hang
people
legally.
In Kansas. Yeah. Now, Kansas, which has yet to execute anyone since reinstated. Come on, you slackers. They haven't killed anybody since reinstating.
I wonder if he still has his Eagle Scout sash.
I wonder if he wants the inmates to salute him as he walks up and down the hall.
You know what? You want to put somebody to death, stick them in a trailer in Tornado Alley.
Yeah.
And then you're done.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, Chris Costa, he's this Missouri prosecutor. He decides, okay, we might throw a plea bargain in here if you lead us to the bodies of Stasi, Godfrey, and Clampett.
Since doing so would have constituted a tacit admission of guilt, which could have been used against him in Kansas, Robinson refused. Costa, on the other hand, faced pressure to make a deal because the case was not technically airtight. Among other issues, there was no unequivocal evidence that any of the murders had actually been committed within his jurisdiction. So when it became clear that the women's remains would never be found without his cooperation, a compromise of sorts was reached. In a carefully scripted plea in October 2003, Robinson acknowledged that that Costa had enough evidence to convict him of capital murder for the deaths of Godfrey, Clampett, Bonna, and the Face. Though his statement was technically a guilty plea and was accepted as such by the Missouri court, it was notably devoid of any contrition or specific acceptance of responsibility. In 2006, the body of a young woman was found in a barrel in an area of rural Iowa where Robinson reportedly had a business partner. The identity of the victim, whose remains forensics experts say could have been in a barrel for 20 years or more, and Robinson's possible involvement remain open questions. Kansas and Missouri police note that long stretches of Robinson's time remain unaccounted for, and they fear that there are additional undiscovered victims.
So if you're ever out west, don't go be looking in a bunch of barrels that you find.
Yeah, because this guy's got them everywhere.
Don't buy any storage lockers.
Who knows what you'll find?
Yeah. Oh, how'd you like to be on that show, the Storage Wars, and then get a bunch of
barrels? Yeah, I bet that has happened before.
Oh, it had to have happened.
Now, Robinson maintains the secrets about what he's done with the women. He won't ever tell. It's the last control he's got. Police believe that there are probably other barrels waiting to be opened, other bodies waiting to be found. He currently remains on death row in Kansas, where the slackers are not putting anybody to death.
And he's not being saluted.
He's not being saluted. Where, you know what they need out there?
Colonel Justice.
Colonel Justice. Because you know what the first thing I do to him?
What?
Stick him in a barrel. I just stick him in a barrel for like 3-4 days.
Would you salute him?
Would not salute him. Then I come back. I get one of those. You ever watch Shameless?
No.
Think Shameless? I get one of those big old monster dildos that got a broomstick on the end of it. Take some pictures of him, tie him up in the corner.
Sawzall.
You might like that.
Put it on the end of a Sawzall.
Did you see on the news that happened? You know, that's a thing. It is a thing. But a guy put one of those gel ones on there.
Uh-huh.
And the son of a bitch, the Sawzall cut through it and just sliced the woman apart.
Ugh. Yep, I read about that.
Okay, yeah. That I don't like that. Casey, your final thoughts on the slave master, John Edward Robinson.
I think this guy gave SBDM a bad name.
And BDSM.
Whatever it is. Yeah. What is it?
Silent but deadly.
BDSM. Yeah, whatever.
You notice how quickly Timmy was to correct
Timmy corrected me. Whatever the initial or the acronym is. I think he gives it a bad name.
Yeah, I am with you. But he was an Eagle Scout, so let's give him props. Brandy.
Just don't salute him.
Your final thoughts on the slave master, John Edward Robinson.
He was an asshole. That is my thought. I don't understand why it took so long to get him brought to justice.
All right. Colonel, your final thoughts on the slave master.
You know, there's a surprising amount of
just had to keep going. This. He couldn't just like just say bad guy.
No, he's a fucking Eagle Scout. I think he's a wonderful man. Of course I think he's a bad guy.
All right, just say that.
Why are you asking me if you know what I'm going to say? But you know what surprises me is the number of women who are active, willing participants in
that. Yeah, to go move away with a stranger.
I think it's like 8 out of 10 or something.
Yeah, 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
8 out of 10 who
Dennis
are...
Dennis recommend that.
Submissive.
That's what I hear. Yep.
Submissive?
Yep, 8 out of 10.
A question, Devil,
do you think that that's high or low, Bren?
I'm watching a video of wiener dogs. So, okay.
Do you think 8 out of 10 women being
are submissive?
Submissive. Do you think that's a little low?
I think it's high.
You think it's what? You think 60-40?
I don't know.
I'd like to ask our listeners that.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, that'd be a good
comment. Might be a bad. No, that could be a bad sample.
It's going to be skewed.
That is going to be skewed.
That's true.
Is choking considered? But Devil, when you was with your economics professor.
Shut up.
No, just
the guy who gave you a C plus.
Did not.
Do you think you would have got a B if you would have let him spank you?
Oh, my God.
And take pictures.
I'm going back to the wiener dog pictures.
Hey, Timmy, when you tie women up at your house, like with the duct tape,
in the basement,
do you like fold the edge off?
I'm too lazy.
That
for
way
that.
You can quickly get to it next
I
time.
I just tell them pretend that they're tied up because I'm too lazy to do it.
Do you know what?
And they keep escaping.
They know it's damnedest thing.
So much better than duct tape are those zip ties.
Oh, yeah.
Big long zip ties.
Have you seen the video where you can cut those with your shoestrings? If you ever, people should look that video up.
Nice.
Yeah, you can cut them with. They're hard to. You can't break them, but you
if somebody
look,
ever
I hate to interrupt this intelligent conversation, but Colonel, do you have some shout outs?
Wow. Oh, you want me to do shout outs now? Do you?
Tim's ready to go.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Oh yeah. It's time for you to go home. It's like 1 o'clock, Tim.
Yes. So. You got here at least an hour ago. You After know, you've been here an hour, I know it's time for me to leave because you don't roll in till noon.
You know, Timmy, and I think that Casey's got a little bit of taste of this, and the devil could probably back me up, but it seems like the more episodes we do, the more dickish you become, the more tyrannical.
Well, now he thinks he's the shit because he did that interview.
Yeah, he's like,
oh. Now he's all...
You know what?
Timmy rules with an iron fist.
Yeah, someone's got to keep this thing going. On track, you fools. Continue, Brandy.
Fools.
Continue, Brandy.
Continue, Colonel, with your shout outs.
Okay, let's stop. We've split these up into two. So
yeah, you keep saying that every time. We got it.
One column.
Because if people get missed, I want them to know that we'll get them on the next episode.
Well, just do a column, and then Timmy will add more because he always is afraid you'll miss somebody.
Yeah. Okay, lovely Annette Petre and Steph Glenn, Christina Hodges. Christina Montana, who made my night last night. She likes my posts. Maria Barber, Jennifer Potts, Cindy Overstreet Hamilton, Paul Mampilli, Mike Arnold, Melissa Lubrano, Brittany Powell, the three Heathers, Heather Hall, Heather Poole, Heather Marshall.
And Heather Poole said we're the punk rock of podcasting. So
she
thank
did.
You, Heather.
Mark Hammermeister.
Yes, the Conspirators podcast.
Jeff Hopkins, John Janke, Lise, Kevin Beham, Mike Tabey, Kimberly Cameron. She's an attorney, right?
I believe so, yes.
I believe she's
we
an
need
attorney.
To ask her about the dibs rule and the
yeah, we need to get
shotgun
some
rules.
Some
she
rulings
could,
on
she could clarify
tomorrow.
That.
Yeah, and Nicola, I haven't heard. Have you seen Nicola on the page?
Nicola Reed, no, but hopefully she's still listening.
Stop in and say hello. Let us know you're listening, Nicole. Because I might need some international legal advice, too. Maddie Kennett, Pavlova, Amelia Orozco, Michael Daniel, Jen Moyer, Jessica Bishop, Liz Evans, Brenda Deutsch, Stacy Lynn, Jeffrey Dolan, Marion Buckwald, Kelsey Froh, Jennifer Miller, Susanna Sheldon, Genesis Lopez, Ramone Howard, Skip Fayu, another very pretty, lovely, but disturbed young woman, Callie Jones.
Callie is very lovely, yes.
And disturbed. Brandy Deese, Andy Smizer, Dan Hamer, Norma DiMaggio, she's another disturbed one there too. Karen Alden, Angie L, Amber Trevino, Carla, the Shoe Lady Nelson, Jessica Winchester, Anita Darden, Nancy Weller, Kirsten Andreasen, Valerie Murray, Tammy Innes, Tara Kohler, Leah McAllister, let's see here, Steph Poling.
Mary Ray.
Lauren Meredith. Mary Ray's in the other column, Timmy.
I'm sorry, but Mary Ray is always on other groups recommending our podcast. So thank you, Mary. We appreciate it.
Kelly Colwell. Jennifer Sabota, Nina from...
Nina Anstead from Already Gone.
Already Gone. Lauren podcast. Meredith. I keep wanting to listen to her podcast.
And it's awesome.
My problem is that I just cannot... I can... I'm...
Hold a thought?
Yeah.
I can't hold a thought. I can't...
yeah. We'll do I that just, right after you book the room and get our YouTube channel up.
Yeah. Ronnie Rhodes, Sophia Panta, Aaron Shipley, Jay Alford, Holly, Holly Woodard, Ali Nett, Susie Randall, Deb Chappelle, Danielle.
Danielle Jones from Between Us Girls podcast. Thank you, Danielle, for the, submitting the questions from the interview that I conducted. She asked me about relationship, Dick, Colonel.
Okay.
Relationship.
Did you resolve
Dick?
That?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
perfect.
So.
Perfect.
Brittany Martin, what about relationship? What about non-relationship vagina pictures?
Yeah, we didn't go into that. No, we didn't discuss that. She's a fine young lady.
Margot Donahue, Jamie Metcalf, Meg Van Sill, Allison Schneider, Sarah Taylor, Ramona Howard, Nitan Sill, Kim Bennett. How you doing, Kim? And the lovely Rachel Hummel. Laura Marer, she's another lovely one to me. Molly Fontenot, Sean DeBoer, Melissa Montoya, Stacy Gutierrez, Tim Hale, Donnie Young, Melanie Young, James Rion, Alan Dobbs, Ann Daza, Carol Nash, Elizabeth Brault, Mark Farman, Paula Kimes, Chris Swanson, Andrea O'Dell, Christina
like
Bachelor,
Andrea.
I do too, Richard Roy, George Huckler, Matt Brookins, Joe LeMond, Leah Pangburn, Natalie Parsons, Todd Long, Lauren Feller, Ron Radsky, Terry Pritchett, Holly Schreiber, Madge Lane Payne, Lindy Latta, Lydia, of course.
Teresa Slavens.
Other column.
Right.
Kristen Whiting, Elise Kearns, doing? Kim Stroop.
Shirley Strapp.
Justin, God damn it. God damn it.
Missy
I
Gordon
set
Dean.
Up a goddamn system here to try to get
why
it right.
You're only doing one column. I don't know why you're in another column.
No, I do half. See, I do half.
All right.
You're going to have to start doing ones.
And, oh, you just play your goddamn Candy Crush on
I'm
the phone. This
Candy
ain't imposing on
Vicky
you.
Ann Wallace.
Do you want me to control that one over there?
She's on the BDSM.
Yeah,
watching Wiener Dog videos.
She's got the GIMP
she's
over
watching,
there.
She's watching Wiener.
Yeah, she's watching.
Yeah.
TJ Young, Peter Fulmer, Chris Lane, Mike Hound, Sabone, Brooke Smith, Tony Marsala, Sarah Morgan, how you doing, Sarah? MJ Howard, Jill Phoenix, Stacy Flynn, Marissa Rhodes, Megan Harper, Catherine Richardson, Alicia Wren, Diane Huff, Julia Jordan, Teresa Klingensmith, Fiona Crisp, Tommy Lane, Teresa Arthur.
And my good friend Karen Barnes, who is always supporting
us. I love
us.
Karen Barnes.
Karen Barnes is cool.
And Karen Barnes openly admitted that she liked all my posts on that thing last night.
She didn't mean it.
No, she meant it. She meant it. She meant it with all her heart. And Casey, we got some new listeners. We got about five or six new ones here. Why don't you give them shout-outs?
I'd love to, Mr. Charles.
Anon Amos and Allison Shields. Thank you for listening.
Motherfucker.
Brock DeShennis. Is that correct?
Brock, yeah. He's a friend of Jeremy's in Wyoming.
Rachel Kratt, Maria Ortiz, Julia Young Jordan, Sarah V. Morgan, and Shirley Strapp.
Thank you all for listening to the podcast. And Colonel, you want to do your final two?
My final two are the lovely Lady Beverly, who we hope is doing well. With her wonderful dog, Sully.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got to catch us up on the news. I don't know when she finds out about her daughter getting into Cambridge. And, of course, the woman that we try to, hopefully this was enough bloodshed, gore, and gruesomeness for you. But Tim's lovely mother, Dottie Scott.
Yes, thanks for listening, Mom. Casey, thank you for joining us.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming in.
Get back in again sometime.
All right.
Now that the election's over.
Yeah, well, we look forward to that. Brandy, where can people find us?
You can find us on Facebook.
Yeah, find us on History Dweebs, the podcast. Join the group. All the folks that we give shout-outs to, they're a part of that group. We interact with everyone, and it's a lot of fun.
Oh, and Fallon. I told her she gets one because she's the mascot.
Okay.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.